Today on Real Radio.
And you know, thank God he said something, huh? I love this. I even love the part that he ran. It gives me hope. But at least he spoke the truth. You know what? Maybe he's going to, because he ran, he's going to live again some other day to speak the truth again. We need to be like this, huh?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series that's taken from chapter 9. Remember, the period of the Judges is a volatile one in the history of Israel, as this section of the Old Testament illustrates. It also shows how times haven't changed, as the nation continues to live under continuous threat from her neighbors. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in his mini-series called Kingdoms in Conflict.
If you cause someone to stop or to be challenged in their faith in God, you've offended, as it were, a child. Jesus said, it'd be better for that person to have a millstone tied around their neck and thrown into the sea. It would be better. Better than what? The word means better to be thrown into the depths of the sea with a millstone around your neck. By the way, they weigh anywhere from 500 to 2,000 pounds. You ain't going to swim with a millstone around your neck. You go down to the bottom. Jesus said, that's better than in the day when I get done with you. In the day of judgment for those who have offended children, Jesus is going to roll up the sleeves of his robe. It is going to be awesome. In John chapter 8, verse 39, they answered and they said to Jesus, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What is the works of Abraham's children? To believe. Abraham was justified by faith, remember? But now you seek to kill me, Jesus said, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. They were implying, the Pharisees were insinuating that Jesus was born of fornication. They said to him, hey, we're not born of fornication. Wow. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a father of them, a father of lies. Wow. So here these guys say, hey, Abimelech, We're brothers. I would not want to be Abimelech's brother. By the way, one old scholar, ancient scholar, said, and it's very true. He says, regarding this, the Hebrew construction of this is a racial issue. It's not only spiritual, it's racial. We're of a different group. And racism, by the way, I think you know this by now, but racism against any ethnic groups, blacks against whites against blacks, any color against any color, is a demonic and satanically rooted evil. I hope you understand that. Satan loves ethnic separation. By the way, a healthy church is a Neapolitan mix-up of all kinds of things. And ages, too, by the way. Ages and colors and financial strata, lifestyle. When God's moving in a church, when God's moving in a fellowship, it should be all God's people, because we've come together recognizing that it is the Word of God. Yeah. and that Jesus is our Savior. And if you really want to freak out, those of you who are struggling over this, I'm going to really freak you out, and you can struggle with this all the way home. Listen to this. Jesus, your Lord and Savior, was a Jew. Ha! My God's Jewish. Well, you know, those Jewish people. Hey, watch out. Jesus was a Jew. God, when he came to earth, he said, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Who do I want to be? I'm going to go and be a Jew. He could have come as a Canadian. He could have come as a Peruvian. Think about it. And then the Jewish people, they said, you know, you picked us for the chosen people. And he said, hey, wait, I didn't pick you because you're so something. Remember what he said? He said, I picked you because you're the most stubborn people on the planet. He wrote that in the Bible. He did. I picked you because you're the most stubborn people. In other words, if I can save a Jew, God says, I can save anybody. Listen, that's good news. My God is Jewish. So when somebody wants to segregate the world up, just know this. There's only one thing that segregates us up. Believer and unbeliever. And you and I have friends and relatives that are unbelievers, but we hope that doesn't stay for very long even. We want them to come into the family of faith and of love. God is so good. Verses 4 and 5, so they gave him 70 shekels of silver from the temple of Baalberth, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless men. What a loser. And they followed him. Then he went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers. Ambition leads to murder every time. If it's not murder by blood, it's murder by destroying someone's reputation or someone's name. It will always lead to some sort of murder. Verbal attacks or radical suicidal paganism to kill people. But Jotham, the youngest son of Gideon, we don't know how old he is, Jerubbabel, that's Gideon's name, was left because he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, all of Beth Millo, and they went and made Abimelech king, not judge. God was not doing kings right now. It's judges. He's appointing judges over Israel. No. Abimelech wants to be king. They appoint him king beside the Terebinth tree at the pillar that was in Shechem. Amazing. Look at this, verses 7 to 15. Seizing the kingdom by deception. Now when they had told Jotham, I love this guy, watch this. He went up and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim, and he lifted up his voice and cried out. Now this is interesting, because from Mount Gerizim, church, you can stand there and you can shout, and you would be heard from an amazing distance away. For those of you who have been with us to Israel, the acoustics in Israel are almost anointed by God. It's strange. The theater at Caesarea, without amplification, I will stand on the stage and be able to speak to the tour, no amplification. And I don't know how many seats it is. Is it like 1,600 seats? No amplification. Just amazing. When you're at the Sea of Galilee, on the shore or on a boat, you can talk to people who are standing on the shore. You can speak to them and the sound just amplifies. Here, Jotham goes on top of Mount Gerizim and he starts to communicate to these crazies that are down there, the men of Shechem. And this is what he says, listen to me! You men of Shechem, that God may listen to you. Listen to this. He gives them a parable, Old Testament parable. The trees once went forth to anoint a king over them. And they said to the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said to them, should I cease giving my oil, with which they honor God and man, and go to sway over trees? Then the trees said to the fig tree, you come and reign over us. But the fig tree said to them, should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit and go sway over trees? Then the tree said to the vine, you come and reign over us. But the vine said to them, should I cease my new wine, which cheers both God and men, and go sway over trees? Watch verse 14. Then all the trees said to the bramble, to a worthless, thorny vine that does nothing for anybody but give you a headache, you come and reign over us. And the bramble said to the trees, if in truth you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. They don't have any shade. It doesn't have any shade. But if not, let the fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. In other words, make me king or you're going to die. You know what you love this? These crazies, the parable is saying, hey, olive tree, come and reign over us. And the olive tree is basically saying in the parable, I have a more lofty and noble God-ordained calling than that. Find somebody else. Should I leave the great thing that I was created for to do that? No way. Each time the response is, I'm not going to stop doing what God's called me to do to go be king. What are you, crazy? Who would impose themselves through ambition and deception to be king? Something worthless. It's one thing for people to want you to be king or to run for office. That's one thing. Let the words of their mouth exalt you, but don't exalt your own situation. The bramble's promoting itself. Who's the bramble? It's easy to understand this parable. Abimelech's the bramble. He's the weed. He's the thorn. Self-promotion leads to deception, and they'll always travel in combination. Ambition will go about to deceive those that are around them. Dangerous. To seize the kingdom by deception. Is not Satan again the author of deception? Is he not the one that is a master at that? You know, church, we're living in perilous times because like never before, we so need to be into our Bibles and into our walk of faith with God, because I personally believe that we could have maybe survived in 10 years ago and 20 years ago and 30 years ago, kind of just getting by, but not anymore. Doesn't it seem like Satan's got a long leash these days? And deception, is not good evil and evil good? Wow. It's a very dangerous time because there's an ambition out there and it will deceive. And you and I will be deceived if we're not in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has been commanded by Jesus to teach us all truth and bring to remembrance whatsoever things we've heard from the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But if we're not in the Word, the Spirit of God's got nothing to remind us of. And we'll hear something. And this is terrifying because someone could say something for hours, for days, for months, years. You guys, I got to tell you something. I saw teachings by some character who was not a character at the time. It was powerful teaching. Couldn't find anything wrong with it early on. He pastored a church up in the San Francisco Bay Area. Powerful teacher of the Word of God. The Bible. In his hand, open on Sunday morning. Got a huge following. Began to fuel his flesh. Got ambitious. And then began to deceive. Do you know what his name is? Yes, good. Jim Jones. The Kool-Aid maniac. Where did he take those people? Guyana? Mass murder. Didn't start out that way. Do you remember Gene Scott? Yeah. I remember Gene Scott in the late 70s and the 80s. Amazing Bible teacher. Amazing. Brilliant man. Then look toward the end of his career and his life and the weirdness that that man did. Cussing and smoking cigars with half-naked women on his stage. Praising God, Bible open. And the scary thing was, when he put down his cigar and got the chicks off of his lap on TV, He got up and opened up his Bible with his chalkboard. Yeah, I got to tell you, that guy's knowledge of Greek and Hebrew was brilliant. If I remember right, he was some sort of a professor of math or science from Stanford. Philosopher. I mean professor from Stanford. When he put down all that stuff, he opened up the Bible, it was absolutely brilliant. And you say, oh man, that guy's a great teacher. Watch out. Because there's fleas with that dog. There's danger. And that guy went astray. It's very, very, very scary. Deception. Ambition will lead to deception. And then finally, verses 16 to 21 is that seizing the kingdom by manipulation. These things all work together. My friends, listen, I don't want you to run out of your paranoia tonight, but if you know somebody who's manipulating, then they're deceiving. And the reason why they're deceiving is because they have ambition that's driving them. This is true in religious things and in life. Do you know a manipulator? Well, they're always trying to manipulate to get their way. Why are they doing that? Because they're a deceiver. Why are they deceiving? Because they're ambitious. They've got to be somehow in control. Now, therefore, verse 16, if you, listen to what he says, Jotham, if you have acted in truth and sincerity in making Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal, Gideon, and his house, and have done to him as he deserves, for my father fought for you, risked his life, delivered you out of the land of Midian, but you have risen up against my father's house this day and have killed his 70 sons on one stone. By the way, that one stone is a sacrificial altar of a pagan deity. And made Abimelech, the son of his female servant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If then you have acted in truth and sincerity with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice in Abimelech. Hey, God bless you. If he's been a great guy, then knock yourself out with him. Go bow down and run around his chariot. That's cool. And let him also rejoice in you. But if not, and here's the truth, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Beth Millo. And let fire come from the men of Shechem and devour Abimelech. Verse 21, and Jotham ran away. Jotham ran away and fled, and he went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. This guy tells it like it is. Hey, and he shouts it. And he gets done, and he says, but listen, if Abimelech's a bonehead, and you followed this path of ambition, deception, and manipulation, then you know what? Watch this. You know what? You're going to get what you deserve. And the kid turns around and takes off. And he runs. And you know, thank God he said something, huh? I love this. I even love the part that he ran. It gives me hope. But at least he spoke the truth. You know what? Maybe because he ran, he's going to live again some other day to speak the truth again. We need to be like this, huh? But do you know what's interesting in closing? Keep this in mind. It seems as though to me that Jotham is describing with Gideon, almost the life of Jesus, that he did good, he risked his life, he delivered you guys, but you've turned on him, and you've even killed his brethren. They crucified Jesus 2,000 years ago, yes, by the predetermined knowledge, foreknowledge of God, yes. But has not the world sought to kill his brethren since? Wow. All because of conflicting kingdoms. The kingdom of man and the kingdom of God. And this manipulation that we're talking about will always infiltrate. Manipulation will lead to exploitation. as you see in this story, and manipulation will, in the end, dominate. Abimelech is going to have it his way, but it's going to backfire on him. Friend, the Bible makes it very clear in Galatians 6, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, right? We've heard this before. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I want to encourage you tonight. You've been plugging along with Jesus. You've been mistreated, misrepresented. Maybe people have disowned you, and you've stayed true to the Lord. I want to tell you, you have not suffered something that is not common to your other brothers and sisters in the faith. To some degree or another, from some time to some other time, it happens. Stay at it. It doesn't seem right. I know it doesn't seem. It doesn't seem fair. I know it doesn't seem fair. Nowhere in this life were we promised justice in this life or fairness in this life. But I was lied about. Join the club. I don't mean that as a joke. Just get with the rest of us. People don't understand you. You're a Christian. You're following the Lord Jesus Christ, who just the mention of his name freaks people out. Jesus said, come on, they hated me, they're going to hate you. That shouldn't surprise us. But Jack, I want people to like me. Why? 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 No, really, why? So they'll say nice things about me. To who? For what reason? That's a trap. Thank God, Jotham gets on top of the hill. Hey! If Abimelech's a great guy and you've been really good to my dad and his kids and everybody and your integrity upright, hey, then knock yourself out. But if he's a loser, you're going down with him. That's so unloving. It's not. No, it's not. Boy, this is a great chapter. It's going to get really, really intense. And from I think the book of Judges is great all along the way. But man, you know what? We're heading to some pretty fantastic characters coming up here. We've got Samson coming up. Oh, this is going to be great. We've got a lot of great things. All of this, Paul said to the church at Rome, for our learning.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called Kingdoms in Conflict. It's a look at the Old Testament book of Judges, chapter 9, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Currently, Pastor Jack is also teaching a series called Life and the Bible, a collection of presentations taken from many parts of Scripture that contain practical wisdom on not just what to believe, but how to live and deal with the issues we experience every day. Some of the DVDs in this series: Being a Christian in Your Relationships, Being a Christian at Your Job, Being a Christian in Your Marriage. Well, two DVDs in this series are called Being a Christian in Your Home. It's in two parts. So for a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Being a Christian in Your Home. And this week it's part two. Once again, it's a presentation in the Life and the Bible series. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and mention it by title: Being a Christian in Your Home. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.